no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. With another 60 minutes of radio drama, this is the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We'll begin our hour this week with Theater 5 and John Hanson Hermit, their story from October 1st, 1964. After that, it's The Six Shooter and More Than Kin, their story from December 13th, 1953.
Hey, what's that? Hey, give up that crazy talk in the park. All he wants is to be left alone.
Yeah, that's how he says. I just want to be left alone. Must be not.
He says he's happy. Just wants to be left alone.
Theater 5 presents John Hanson, Hermit.
Did you enjoy the Hamlet? Oh, Ray, you're supposed to be relaxing, not thinking of your TV show.
You think just one evening of free Shakespeare in the Park will do it?
Oh, then you didn't give it a chance.
No. You know what I've been doing since Hamlet saw the ghost? I've been collecting faces, checking the audience for possibilities, casting their faces for could-bes on my TV show.
Oh, Ray, all the time.
All the time. People aren't people to me anymore. They're could-bes. Could-be politicians, could-be explorers, could-be atomic scientists. Could be anything long enough to fool the audience and the dear guests on my TV panel of The Truth Will Out. It's automatic with me, like a facial tick. How am I supposed to relax from that?
I know what I could be, if you let me. I could be married.
Not now, Doris.
Wait till the show gets settled. Wait till it hits the top of the TV ratings. Wait till my job is secure. Wait.
Yes, Doris. Wait, huh? Doris, look huh? Over there. Look, walking along, the tall, thin man with the long hair.
You need a beatnik?
I need a French artist, could be. Could that man there be an avant-garde artist? Sure. He has a nice, remote, star quality. Wait here.
Oh.
I'd like to talk to you. It's worth your while.
No, it's not. Please, let me alone.
No, you don't understand. This is business.
I do understand. No.
No, hey, don't run away. I want to... No. Does anyone know who that man was? I'll pay $10 for any information.
Hey, mister.
What?
Mister.
What?
You said you'd give $10? We know the man who ran away.
Who are we?
Me and my friend Sanders. Here he comes. Find him, Sanders.
No, he went home.
Where's home? Where does he live?
Where does your money live, mister? Let's see.
What's the man's name first?
What do you want with him?
I want to put him on TV. I'm a TV producer. Here's my car. That's my name, my address, and phone number. I want to help him win money and prizes.
Hey, Sanders, he's for real.
Yeah? TV.
So what's the man's name?
John. He's crazy. He lives in the park. He washes his clothes on the lake rock sometimes. You ought to see that. He eats the food people leave around. People throw away a lot of stuff he can still eat.
Come on now.
No, it's true. John lives in this park. Lives here all the time. He eats, he sleeps. He's got a cave for cold weather, but he never goes out of the park.
Hermit Daniel. Hermit. He's crazy.
Oh, maybe a little bit. Usually he doesn't like people to see him or get up close to him. But he talks to us. You know, once he showed us how to make a fire without matches, he's got no matches, no nothing, only some books.
Boys, if you can get in touch with this John the Hermit, tell him I'm a right guy, get him to see me, I'll pay you another five apiece.
I'll buy the dime for the phone.
Ah, shut up, Sanders. Mister, my name is Kip. You'll hear from me, maybe tonight. Come on, Sanders.
Ray, what is this?
Doris, they couldn't make up a lie like that. It must be true. Think of it. A hermit in a park... surrounded by millions of people, living with stars and grass and trees in the world's most sophisticated city. And Doris, you saw him. You heard that sensational voice. Isn't this the gimmick to end all gimmicks?
I could take him under my management. I could build our show around him once. And after that, it could go anywhere.
Suppose he doesn't want to be on TV.
The whole human race wants to be on TV.
But he's a kook.
Kooks want to most of all. Do you think he was handsome, Doris?
He had a certain something. He really did, Ray.
Good. If you picked it up, the other gals will, too.
Sometimes I wonder if you're human.
Sure I'm human. Here's some money.
What?
Take a cab and have a hacky waiter. You're safe in the lobby.
You mean you're not even going to see me home?
I've got work to do. I've plans to make. I have a feeling about this, John the Hermit. Now, I don't say that often, do I? But this time I've got a certain feeling. This is going to be big for me. It's going to be very big. Hey, hold it, Kip. I'm out of breath.
Just a little further, Mr. Camber.
Oh, boy.
You know, John likes the high ground. He says it's closer to the sun.
And there's plenty of sun. It's 6 a.m.
Yeah.
6 a.m.
Oh, time doesn't mean nothing to John. He's not like other people.
You can say that again.
John didn't want to see you. I had to ask him as a favor to a friend.
Are you friends?
Well, I know you think he's crazy, and I guess he is, but please be careful what you say to him, huh?
You are friends. It's not just the money with you, the way it is with your pal, Santas.
Oh, Santas has got a father. He's got brothers. He doesn't like them, but he's got them. They're there.
And you have?
My mother. She works nights. You know, she isn't even home yet.
Well, I'll be careful of John's feelings. And here's your money in advance so you don't have to wait around. Now, let's go.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Camber. It's not like I'm selling John's to you. Oh, I need the money, sure, but I'm doing him good, too. TV. Boy, he could buy anything he wants with the money he'll get from you, right?
Right.
Well, then that ought to straighten him out. So I am doing him good. TV. Someday I'll be on TV.
Maybe later, Kip. Now, you leave when I give you the signal, right?
Okay. Oh, there he is. Hey, John! John, this is Mr. Candler. Well, you said I could bring him, remember?
I remember, Kip. Hello, John.
I'm John Hanson. Would you like to come inside, you and Kip?
Oh, no, I got to get back and see my mother. But you don't have to worry about Mr. Candler, John. I spoke to him. Bye.
Kip, were you going to invite me inside, John Hanson?
Yes, I was. Here, bend down.
Oh, okay.
What's the rock, sir? I can see all the space in here. I live here in winter. Sit down. Have you never sat down without a chair, Mr. Candler?
Not for a long time.
I had a chair once. I had many things I didn't need. Have you ever read Henry David Thoreau?
In school as a boy.
Thoreau says that his material belongings took so much of his time when he was living at Walden Pond, trying to write and think, that he began to simplify life by eliminating things. Chairs. Just things to dust. Throw them out. Shelves. Just things on which you put more things. Out. Thoreau learned to sleep on the floor. After a while, his cabin was bare. But his mind and his head were crowded. But with none of these things. Things to worry him. Then, he could work.
Are you working like Thoreau?
No. I'm living like Thoreau. Thoreau saved my life. You know how I came into this park? I think it was 5 years ago. I came in to die. I hoped to starve to death.
Why?
Oh, you wouldn't understand. That was the way it had to be. I thought so. But I had some books and things with me. And to take my mind off the hunger, I began to read. I found Thoreau. Then I began to see. I began to understand that material things were only things. Nothing more. And I threw them out. I decided to live because of Thoreau. John, do you think that what you have learned would help other people?
My way is a hard way. They would not be interested.
Well, who are you to judge that? What right have you to deprive them of their chance to hear it from your own lips?
You know, Thoreau did say, he who eats the fruit should at least plant the seed. Yes, he said that.
Then tell others what peace you found. I know how you can do it. Come with me.
Come where?
Out of the park.
No, never. I'd die. I wanted to die when I came in, and I would want to die if I left.
There were other parks, bigger, even more beautiful.
No, only this one. My sanctuary. No other place but this.
You sound afraid.
I am. I don't like people very much. I don't think Thoreau did either. He knew that they would lie and cheat and steal and hurt, so he ran away from them. No, I don't feel strong with people. They make me unhappy. I don't like to watch their mouths moving. Always talking. Did you know that the grass and the wind talk too? I hear them, but they have no mouth to move. No lies to tell.
But John, didn't Thoreau finally leave the woods and go back to his family?
I have no family.
You have a friend.
Friend? Yes.
The boy Kip. He wants you to come out of the park with me. That's why he brought me to you.
Kip wants me to...
Yes. You're going to help him, John. I know a way for you to make a lot of money, and you can give it to him as a friend.
Thoreau said, the most I can do for my friend is simply to be his friend.
That's not enough for a boy whose mother works in a factory all night to buy food for them.
No, it's not. Do you promise I can come back to the park as soon as I begin to feel I want to die again?
Long before then.
It would help Kip if I talked to people the way you want me to.
The way Kip wants you to. And you would help them, too.
I'll go with you. For a little while. You promise it will be for a little while. Only a little while. For a little while. You have my promise.
Add this to the other stuff. John Hanson was a GI, 57th Division, wounded at Changchun in Korea. Well, how do I know where? In the head, probably. His hometown is Hutchins Point, Kansas. Rush somebody out there for some bio, childhood, family stuff. I do it yesterday. We're running out of time. I don't know how long I can keep him happy. So far, only the bath stuff does it. I sent you a list of interviews I've lined up for after the show. And there's an introductory cocktail thing for the trade press. I'll call you back, Barney. Don't worry, John. Just a friend with some clothes for you.
It's only me. Just a friend. I bought these. Jacket and slacks. How are they?
Just right. Good, sir. I want you to put these on, John.
But I thought you were going to use the rags he came in for the show.
I decided against it. If he cleans up the way I think he will.
Ray, how much does he know? How much does he understand?
Oh, what's the difference? I can handle him.
What happens to him after you've gone as far as you can go with his gimmick?
He'll be a rich hermit. I certainly don't intend to cheat him.
Oh, certainly not.
Okay. How will I look? Don't change a button.
You're beautiful.
So are you. Hey, now, John, she's my girl. Watch out, she falls in love easily.
The only remedy for love is to love more.
Now you're talking. Is that the rule?
Yes.
Huh?
I've been studying.
Oh.
Which reminds me, John, that you have to learn a few lines.
Ray, I'm not sure I can do this.
What?
All those people and their mouths. I can talk to you because you're my friend. Can't I just talk to you and you tell them,
John, you know that I'm your friend.
Yes.
Yes. You believe what I tell you?
Yes.
And believe this.
You were not afraid to starve to death in the park. You were not afraid to change your mind. You should not be afraid to share your new life with others. Nothing is so much to be feared as fear itself. John, who said that?
Thoreau.
Right. And fear always springs from ignorance. That was Emerson, Thoreau's friend. And he has not learned the lesson of life who does not every day surmount a fear. Emerson told Thoreau that, John Henson. Emerson told Thoreau. And what was good enough for Emerson and Thoreau should be good enough for you, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, our Truth Will Out celebrity panel, consisting of Celebrity 1, Celebrity 2, and Celebrity 3, will try in 10 questions or less to get to the truth about which of these hermits is the real John Hanson, Hermit of the Park. Remember, the name of the game is The Truth Will Out. Celebrity 1 wants to know. The first John Hanson, what kind of sandwiches do most people leave unfinished in the park?
Egg salad, and I agree with them.
Now, how do you make up for your lack of soap?
I don't get very dirty.
Celebrities 1 and 2 want to know, can they pull your beard?
Ow!
It's real, folks! It's really real! Our panel has decided the first John Hanson is the real John Hanson. Will the real John Hanson please step forward? Bring on the prizes! Bring on the prizes! For you, Mr. Hanson, our combination brings a refrigerator with knife sharpening and gift wrapping attachment.
Thank you, but I don't need it. I can't use it.
Oh, is that?
I have no electricity.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll figure something out. You can always give it away.
Good. That's what I want to do.
Oh, to your mother, to your father, to your sweetheart?
No, just to a friend.
Oh, but we can't do that.
Then you keep it.
Oh, now let's get down to business, Mr. Hanson. And you could go into business with what we're going to give you. Oh, boy. A full living room suite of vibrating automatic massage furniture. A power lawnmower with a built-in TV screen. And an intercom for your car. A dual-control intercom for your car.
I have no car. I have no car, and I don't expect to get a car. I don't expect to clutter up my life with things. Don't you see that they're only things? I don't want them, and I won't take them. They're rock. It's all rock. Oh,
please, folks. Please, may not be careful. Don't be angry at me.
Hurry up, John. You got to find him.
Well, do you really think John will be in the park?
He has no place else to go. I just hope he got back safely.
Oh, I thought they were going to mob him back at the studio. That crowd was really crazy.
Oh, I think he got away while they were fighting about the prizes.
That's his hill where the cave is, but I don't see anybody.
Oh, wait a minute.
Huh?
Hey, Kip. Hey, Kip. Kip, what are you doing here?
We're looking for John, Mr. Candler.
So are we. We want to make sure he's safe.
I feel awful bad. I'm so sorry for you, Mr. Candler.
Sorry for me?
Yes, after all you did.
I'm sorry he acted that way, Mr. Candler.
That crazy John. You put him in the money. Boy, I wish it would happen to me.
What right did he have? What right to say the prizes were rotten? Who does he think he is?
He's just an old bum, that's all. He had no right. Where do we catch up with him?
What'll you do, Sanders?
I'll show you what I'll do. A rock? What are you going to do with it?
I'll show you. I'll crack his crazy head wide open. What right?
Come here. Sanders. Kip, come back. Sanders.
Kip. Why did you bring me here, Ray?
I needed someone with me.
Not me. I won't hold your hand.
You destroyed him. And that boy Kip, his friend. Couldn't you see John was sincere, Ray? Can't you see sincerity anymore, crazy or not?
That was the trouble. And Thoreau...
Not more Thoreau. Haven't you done enough with Thoreau?
No. I just remembered something else he wrote. I should have remembered it before. I was not born to be forced. I will breathe after my own fashion. If a plant cannot live according to its nature, it dies. And so a man.
John Henson, Herman, written by Phyllis Cole and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Stan Watts, George Petrie, Fran Carlin, Evelyn Juster, Cecil Roy, and Gar Wood. Audio engineer Neil Pulse. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastutsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Edward A. Byron. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as The Six Shooter, just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with two of your favorite stars. Hear Stroke of Fate and the story of what might have happened if fate had reversed historical facts. And be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of Last Man Out. It's a wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both The Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
Of thy sin, Desdemona, for indeed thou art to die.
My lord of the law, have mercy on me.
I say amen.
And you, mercy too. I never did offend you in my life.
Oh, perjured woman. Oh.
Nay, I speak the truth. I never did offend.
You're offending us, lady. Hey, who is this guy Shakespeare anyway?
Oh, banish me, my lord, but kill me not.
Don't, trumpet.
Kill me tomorrow, but let me live tonight.
Beat back, kill her tonight.
Yeah, let's get it over with.
Hey, nay. The lady, if you strive...
But half an hour.
Holy mackerel, not another half hour then.
Go on, Othello. Put her out of her misery.
How about our misery?
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
He certainly don't mean us.
Ladies and gentlemen. It appears
that our Thespian efforts do not meet with your approval.
Appeal?
My company and I have played before all the crowned heads of Europe. We thought the enlightened community of Virtue City would welcome an opportunity to witness the works of the immortal bard as performed by Madame de la Seine, the distinguished French actress, and by your humble servant. We were mistaken. To err is human, to forgive divine. I forgive you. The performance is concluded. Good night.
Hey, now, just a minute. You mean you ain't going on to the end of this thing?
You have understood me correctly, sir.
What's Shakespeare gonna think?
Yeah, what about the money we paid? Do we get it back?
What about...
Silence! Silence, please! My company has more than earned the meager pittance.
You ain't earned nothing until the show's over.
That's right. Either you finish up your acting up there, you give us our dough.
That's right.
This ultimatum is outrageous. I reject it flatly.
Just you stay up there on that stage, mister. I said...
Please, sir, there are ladies present. Someone might be injured.
You going on with the show, ain't you? Well?
Performance will continue. But under protest, sir. Under severe protest.
I hadn't been back to Virtue City since the second silver strike. First mines played out, 10, 15 years ago, and the town had been crumbling away like a stale loaf of bread. But the new strike last spring, for the looks of things, is even bigger than the first one. The old stores all opened up again, and half a dozen new ones being built. The new railroad accounted for some of the prosperity. Anyway, that's why I'd come to town. I was supposed to meet the train from Chicago and pick up some spare parts for the pump at the Round Y Ranch where I was working. The train wasn't due until the next day, so I headed over to the hotel to see about getting a room. The clerk was sitting behind the registration counter looking through some kind of a contraption. I didn't know what it was. Sure had never seen a gadget like that before.
Sorry, mister. Didn't know you was there.
Well,
got me a new set of pictures. I sort of anxious to try them out, you know.
Pictures? What?
My stereoscope.
Oh.
You seen a stereoscope before, ain't you, mister?
No, can't say that.
Why, it's the newest thing. All the folks back east have got them. Here, just let me show you, huh? Now, you wait a minute. Just wait till I find Niagara Falls. Yeah, here it is. Now, you just look through the front end there, huh? That's right. Well,
I'll be doggone.
Why,
it just looks like that water come right at you, doesn't it? Why, you'd think it was real. You'd think you were right there.
Here, let me show you another one, huh? Now, let me see. Oh, yeah, pyramids. I'm the only fella in town got the pyramids.
Pyramids?
Yeah, they're in Egypt, you know. Yeah. Huh? There, now, how's that?
Why, just look at... Oh, I can't believe it, I... Well, that fella's standing out in front of the pyramids. It's just like you could touch him. You could just reach out and touch him. I've never seen anything like that before in my life.
Yeah, you just wait till I find that redskin to shoot in an arrow. Got a way he's aiming it. Well, you didn't know it was a picture. You'd swear he was
my,
looking at...
key, if you please.
Oh, sure, Mr. Plunkett, sure.
And you may as well have my bill ready. We'll be checking out this afternoon.
Oh, thought you were supposed to give another show tonight.
The performance has been canceled.
Hey, Arch.
Hey, beg your pardon, sir.
Arch, well, don't you remember me?
You seem to have the advantage, sir. I don't believe that I... Britt Ponsett!
Well, what the thunder are you doing in Virtue City, Arch? Why, I haven't seen you
Since our triumphal tour of Texas, wasn't it, Britt?
Why?
When we were the honored guests of the governor, my company and I. You remember he insisted that we stay at the executive mansion?
Now, Arch.
I shall never forget the warmth of our reception there. The people of Texas have a true appreciation of the art of the drama, unlike some of our more recent audiences.
Audiences?
Well, come along, old boy. Come along. You must join us for a spot of tea.
Marguerite will be so delighted to see you again.
Marguerite, who's she?
My lovely wife.
Oh.
Don't tell me you've forgotten her.
Well, I thought her name
We've
was...
We've taken the presidential suite, of course. If you'll just follow me...
Well, now, hold on, Arch. I've got to see about a room for myself.
Oh, nonsense. The clerk will take care of these trivial details. This way, dear boy. This way. Here we are, my dear Brit. Enter.
Hey, what the Sam Hills happened to you, Arch? What happened to your voice?
All in good time, my good man. Marguerite?
That's you, Arch?
Yes, my dear. I've brought someone with me.
I have been taking a little nap to snooze dinner. Why, you son of a gun, what... Well, where did you come from?
Oh, Maggie, how are you?
He was downstairs in the lobby, Mag. I had to get him up here fast before he spilled the beans.
Oh, that's right. You don't know we're in the profession, do you, Brett?
The what?
Show business, Brett. Show business. Maggie and I are actors now. We got our own company.
No.
Permit me to introduce myself. Archibald Plunkett, late of London, Paris, New York, and, for an unpleasant moment, Virtue City.
Plunkett, eh?
Couldn't keep on calling myself Archie Plunkett. Once I gave up the dry goods emporium and started acting.
Oh, I see.
And this charming lady is my wife, the toast of the continent, Marguerite Delassane.
What do you mean you changed your name too, Maggie?
Oh, just fancied it up a speck. I used to be Maggie Rivers before I married Arch. Well, we looked on a map. There's a French river called the Seine, so...
I just don't seem fair somehow.
What do you mean, Brett?
Well, your folks give you a hand. All seems like you ought to stick with it.
Oh, not when you're in the profession.
Is that so?
Sure. Most actors have to change their names.
They do.
Lots of them.
Well, I guess if it's customary, I... Gee whiz, you're actors now, huh?
Well, Arch wasn't much good at business, Britt. You know that. He always hated to stay in one place. And then when the drought hit, well, we were cleaned out.
Yeah, it was right about then Doc Ryder come through with his medicine show. Remember the Doc, Britt?
Oh, yeah, sure.
His guitar player left him flat. Run off with that girl he used to do the singing, the one with the yellow tights.
Yellow tights? I don't think... Oh, yeah.
So the Doc needed somebody to take their place, and, well, Maggie always had a real sweet singing voice, and... Seen as how we were broke, anyhow.
Doggone tights never did fit me.
Well, you're not still with the medicine show, are you?
Oh, we sure ain't. Anyhow, we struck out on our own, started in doing serious acting. You know, Shakespeare.
Shakespeare? Oh.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
I see.
Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take up arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing.
That's pretty good.
And then. That's Hamlet.
Oh, that's...
To tell you the truth, Brett, I was going to appear as the melancholy Dane this very evening. Circumstances have compelled us to abandon the production.
Is that so?
Yeah, there was a little trouble during our performance of Othello last night.
You mean the folks didn't like the show?
Well, when they started shooting up at the ceiling, that was the impression that we got.
Well, now they shouldn't have done that.
I couldn't agree with you more completely. Anyway, we're going on to Rocky Falls. Maybe folks there will have a little more...
Oh, who on earth?
Right, now you won't say anything. You won't give us away.
Oh, no, of course not.
Your servant, sir?
Forgive me for intruding. Are you Archibald Plunkett, the actor?
I am he.
Delighted to meet you, Mr. Plunkett.
And what may I do for you, sir?
I happen to be spending the day in Virtue City, and I saw a theatrical poster advertising a performance of Hamlet, one of my favorite plays. Unfortunately, when I tried to buy tickets, I was informed that your company isn't appearing this evening.
That is correct, sir. A sudden change in our schedule. We have so many engagements, we're unable to fill them all.
Oh, I understand, Mr. Plunkett. I understand. The vagaries of show business. See, I happen to be in the theater myself.
Indeed?
My card.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry I won't have the opportunity of witnessing your performance. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Old faker. Why, I bet he's no more in show business than you are, Britt. Probably thought we'd give him a couple of free passes.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, Arch, what's the matter?
Oh, no. It couldn't. I'm seeing things. Britt.
Hmm?
Here, Britt, what's it look like to you? The name on this card. What's it say?
I'll say it. It says Barnum. P.T. Barnum. Yeah, that's the name, all right. Printing's real clear.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment. Now, during the holiday season, with more cars than usual on the road and adverse weather conditions, think a minute. If a child should dash across an intersection, if a tire should blow out, could you stop in time to save a life? As always, during a holiday season, you must be more alert than ever in following simple safety rules. Keep your windshield clear of fog and snow. Be certain your headlights and wipers are working properly. In wet weather, never slam on your brakes. It's a sure way to put your car into a skid. And always follow other cars at a safe distance. Don't be one of those unfortunates who will lose his life in a traffic accident this Yuletide. Be careful, friends. Live to have a safe and happy Christmas. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
For the next couple of minutes or two, Arch and Maggie just stood there, looking at each other. And the way they were looking at each other, I tell you, it was the same kind of an expression a calf gets just before you hit him with a branding iron. Then Arch walked over to the window and raised it up just like he was getting ready to jump out. I thought sure Maggie would stop him. She didn't. All she did was just grab the calling card out of my hand and started rubbing her finger over the printing on it.
Arch, it's real engraven.
Yeah. Why can't I do it, Maggie? Why can't I end it all right here and now?
Oh, now, what are you talking about, Arch? What's got into you folks, anyhow?
P.T. Barnum, Britt. You know who P.T. Barnum is, don't you?
Well, he said he was in show business.
In show business? He is show business. Jenny Lind, General Tom Thumb, half the stars in America owe their careers to him.
Yeah?
Don't you see, Britt, he was going to come to the theater tonight. He was going to watch his act without us even asking him.
Well...
And if he liked it, well, there's no telling what would have happened. He might have hired us himself.
An actor gets a chance like this only once. To appear before P.T. Barnum.
Arch? Arch, maybe it's not too late.
It is too late.
No, listen now. Now, the company is still in town. All we'd have to do is unpack the costume.
The performance has been canceled, Maggie.
Then we'll uncancel it. I'll round up the rest of the cast, change your train ticket. Sure, that's it. And you get over to the opera house. Make sure they haven't let it out to somebody else.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, what about an audience?
Oh, yes. Well, I tell you, give some of the kids around town passes. They'll spread the word quick enough. Well, now, just don't stand there, Arch. Get moving.
Oh, all right, Maggie. Yeah, all right. All right.
Well, Maggie, I guess
Britt. Britt, now you go and find Mr. Barnum.
What?
He must be staying in the hotel. The clerk will give you the room number.
Well, I...
Tell him we rearranged our schedule again. We're playing Hamlet tonight. But for heaven's sakes, don't let him know it's because of him.
Oh?
And tell him he won't need tickets. We're saving him the front box. Well, hurry up, Britt, hurry up, before I make some other plans.
All right, sure. All right, Maggie. Mr. Barnum?
Yes? Oh, hello there.
Howdy, my name's Britt Ponsett.
I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Ponsett. What can I do for you?
Well, my friends, the Plunkets, the Plunkets, they asked me to find you.
Oh?
And they've sort of changed their plans. It seems they're going to stay over in Virtue City tonight and give the show.
Oh, I see.
And they asked me to tell you that they're saving a box for you. if you'd care to use it tonight.
That's very considerate, Mr. Ponset. I'd be delighted. Are you with the company?
How's that?
Are you one of the performers I'm to have the pleasure of watching tonight?
No. I'm just a friend.
Oh. Well, thank you for delivering the message.
Don't mention it, Mr. Barnum. Don't mention it. Well, I didn't see any more of Arch and Maggie that afternoon. I figured they'd have plenty to keep them busy. This acting job's about like anything else, I guess. There must be a certain amount of work to it. Anyway, about 7 o'clock, I was up in my room putting on a clean shirt, getting fixed up to go to the theater and watch their play. Hey, man.
Hello, Britt.
Oh, hello, Arch. Maggie. Well, what's the matter?
I'm just born under an unlucky star, I guess.
Oh?
My fault. I never should have suggested giving a performance tonight in the first place.
Well, what, couldn't you get the opera house?
No. No, it's available.
Well, Mr. Barnum's coming. He told me so himself.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Well, I thought you were so anxious for him to see you. That...
Not just to see us, but to like us, to appreciate our talent.
Oh, if I'd only stopped to think, Arch.
No, don't blame you, my dear. Blame myself. Should have realized the whole idea of our playing tonight was out of the question. Now I've sent those kids all over town.
Well, maybe we can catch an early train. Sneak away before anyone knows.
Now, hold on there. Now, what are you both so down on the mouth about? Now, you got the theater, and you're going to have an audience, Mr. Barnum included.
Well, that's just it, Britt, the audience.
Huh?
It'll be the same folks who came last night.
Oh, I see.
They'd boo us, make fun of us, probably start shooting again.
And what'll Mr. Barnum think?
We're the worst actors he's ever seen, that's what he'll think.
Yeah, but there ought to be somewhere maintained in order. What about the sheriff? He's the man to do it.
Already seen him.
Yeah? Oh, what'd he say?
Said we ain't any better than we was last night. He's advising the boys in the audience not to aim at the ceiling.
Is that so?
One big opportunity, Britt. And it's ruined before we ever got started.
Well, maybe there won't be any trouble. Maybe the audience will like this. What is Hamlet? Maybe they'll like that better than the one you gave them before.
They won't. It isn't one of our most successful presentations.
Uh-huh. You couldn't try something else, could you?
We only do two plays, Britt. Othello and Hamlet.
I see. Well, I guess it wouldn't be much point repeating that Othello, huh?
No, wouldn't.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm awful sorry, Arch. I wish there was something I could do.
Do you, Britt? Do you really wish there was something you could do?
Why, sure, Maggie, sure.
Well, as a matter of fact, we did have one possible solution.
So?
It sort of involves you in a way.
What, me?
You see, you're practically saving our lives, Britt, if you do it.
Explain it to him, Arch.
Well, maybe you'd better do the explaining.
Oh, no. It really was your idea, Arch. Go on, Arch.
Well, you see, Britt, now, don't say no until you hear me out.
Well, I'm not saying anything.
You see, we were thinking most of the folks here in town must... Well, they must know you by sight, and they know you're the six-shooter. So, it...
Well, I said no. You can be darn sure of that. And I kept saying it over and over and over again for the next hour and a half. Well, what they were suggesting was just tall foolishness, that's all. I just had to turn them down, that's all. I just had to do it. And they must have known I wouldn't agree to a thing like that. But no matter how hard I talked, they just talked harder. And being actors, they had strong voices, too, you know. Well, the next thing I knew, somehow they'd managed to drag me along with them to the opera house. Anyhow, after the piano solo by Thelma Featherhill, the curtain went up and the show got underway. Started out all right, too. Audience seemed to be paying attention. Nobody was creating any ruckus or anything, at least not at first.
Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt. That it should come to this. But 2 months dead. Oh, frailty, thy name is woman. Oh, fie on. Oh, fie.
Yes, fie on you too.
There yet the salt of most unrighteous tears.
had left the flushing in her galled eyes. She married.
Sounds like old Lady Crandall. She only waited 2 weeks after Jed Crandall kicked the bucket.
No, it cannot come too good. But break my heart, for I must hold my tongue.
Better get a good grip on it, mister.
You see, Bridge, you just gotta do it.
I can't do it. Can't do it.
Oh, look at poor Archie out there. Isn't it just enough to break your heart?
How weary, pale, flat, and unprofitable seem to me all the uses of this world.
Your acting's a little flat, too, mister.
Go on, Brick. That's your cue.
What cue?
Go on. That's it.
Oh, good Horatio. I'm glad to see you well.
Hail to your lordship, Brick.
Huh?
Hail to your lordship.
Hail to your lordship.
What make you from Wittenberg, Horatio?
How's that? What?
A truant disposition.
A truant disposition.
Can't get to school, kids. Here comes the truant officer.
I will not hear your enemy say so. Nor shall you do mine ear that violence to make it custer of your own report against you.
No, he's bringing out the report card.
Sid, you better take it easy.
Huh?
Don't you see who that is, that other actor fella?
What are you talking about?
It's Brick Ponsett.
I know you are.
Ponsett, the six-shooter? You must be crazy.
He's staying at the hotel. I seen him this afternoon.
Well, what's he doing up there on that stage?
He's a friend of them actors.
Oh.
If I was you, I'd keep my big mouth shut from here on in. There ain't no sword he's wearing under that rig. That's a six-gun, plain as day.
It followed hard upon. Drift, Horatio. The funeral baked meats did coldly furnish for the marriage table. Would I had met my dearest foe in heaven, ere I had seen him.
Oh, woe is me. Now cracks a noble heart. Good night, sweet prince.
And flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. Rest.
And flocks of angels sing you to your rest.
Oh, Brett, golly, we can't ever thank you enough. Why, if it hadn't been for you, I just don't know what would have ever happened. Oh, golly.
And did you see? He stayed through to the end. Mr. Barnum did. Right through to the end. Britt, you were great.
Arch, I never felt so foolish in my whole life.
Do you think he'll come backstage, Arch? Mr. Barnum?
Somebody help me get out of this thing, will you?
Come in. Why, Mr. Barnum?
Good evening. I just wanted to drop by and tell you how much I enjoyed your performance tonight.
We are most honored, sir. Honored.
Your future in the theater is assured. And you there, Ponsett.
Who, me?
You told me you weren't an actor.
Oh, he was just sort of filling in, Mr. Barnum.
Oh, I realize you weren't up in the part, Mr. Ponsett. But such stage presence. Why, the way that audience quieted down when you walked on, I've never seen anything like it before in my life. Never. Now, if you're seriously interested in the theater as a career, I would be very happy...
No, thanks very much, Mr. Barnum. I'm not interested. No, that's real kind of you, but, no, fine. Oh, no. Well, sir, I got out of that theater just as fast as my legs could carry me. I just don't see how anybody can set out to be an actor. All those people staring at you and that sweat running down the back of your neck. Holy smoke. Worse than any gunfight, I'm sure. Of course, that applause, that's after it was over. That applause, that did sound kind of good. And Mr. Barnum, he was very nice about saying that I had stage presence. Whatever that means. I suppose a man could get used to play acting if he had to. Sure is a scary business.
The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Michael Ann Barrett, Tony Barrett, Ted Bliss, Marvin Miller, and Dan O'Herlihy. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
That's it for this week's Relic Radio Show. I hope you enjoyed today's selections. You can find more from Theater 5, The Six Shooter, past episodes of this show and all the other shows at relicradio.com. You'll also find a link to our Shoutcast stream there and our donate button. Relic Radio Show and all of the podcasts are listener-supported. If you'd like to help out, help make sure it all keeps coming to you every week, click on that donate button. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts, though any amount is greatly appreciated. Thank you, as always, to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.